And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now, 25 minutes to the hour. I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan, who is Managing Director of Sliabh Nua Careers Limited. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And thank you very much, as always, for joining us. Two problems this evening. First, from KK by email. I have an interview coming up this Friday. I'm afraid that I've done too much research. It's a very high-profile company, so I don't want to make a fool of myself. Any tips on how I should approach the final few days so that I can give a good account of myself on Friday?
Good question, actually, because some people underestimate the importance of going in there on the day fresh, so to speak, and they often end up cramming too much like a student and go in overloaded with information. So I've made a few points that might work for KK. First of all, obviously, is to move away from cramming at some stage during this week. It's Friday is the interview, so by about Thursday sometime during the day, they should look to reduce the amount of information they're taking in and reduce their notes to one page, really, like a series of bullet points saying, you know, if they ask about teamwork, dot, 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 I'll say the following, I'll give the following examples. And you're looking at no more than 50 or 60 words on a piece of paper. If you've done your work and they feel that they have done the work in this case, you need to move down towards, like the Albert Reynolds thing, being a one-page man, so to speak, and trust that they'll all act as triggers on the day. The second thing I would say is that as the day comes closer and they say that it's a very high-profile company, you want to read the papers and the internet sites and all that, listen to radios about that sector. Is there anything happening in that sector that may come up on the day? You know, it's a high-profile company, perhaps in a high-profile sector, a newsy sector. Has any new legislation been enacted? Has any major development taken place? Has any acquisition or merger taking place? Is there anything that might just be thrown at them as a kind of a tester to see are they following this sector effectively? And that's also true of the company itself. No harm in the last few days to check the company website for press releases, any changes there. Check their Twitter feed, their Facebook feed, or their LinkedIn group page. They may have announced something very interesting, and it wouldn't bode well for KK to go in there on the day and not be aware of that. Companies do like you to show company knowledge. So while they may have done a lot of research on the company over the last few weeks preparing for Friday, it's very important that nothing at the 11th hour catches them out as well.
That's just to cut across you there, Liam, that is a very interesting point, actually, which I have to admit I wouldn't have thought of myself. But in the age of social media, you know, within a couple of hours of the interview commencing, that particular company might have published, you know, high-level changes.
Yes, and I attended a talk some years ago where a media specialist said that a breaking story once lasted something like 24 hours. And I know from my own days in the media, say back in the Irish Independent in the mid-90s, if you had a story, you could sit on it until the next morning, if you know what I mean. You could be confident that nobody's going to get your story throughout the remainder of the day and that you have the exclusive the next morning. Whereas now the duration of a breaking story is down to minutes. So it's not feasible for a candidate to go in and say, oh, I didn't hear that, because it'll be all over the place as soon as it's announced. So just no harm to have a little Google search, maybe have a Google alert set up for the next few days, check their Twitter feed, as I said, just so they're not caught offside. And that can have a very negative impact on an interview, you know, if you're not tuned into what's happening in a high-profile company like this. The other thing I would say is, and I'm no fashion guru, but have your clothes ready. Don't be the last minute on the morning going around ironing and hoping things come together. You know, take time to have all that ready. People, if you're not used to wearing a suit, or in the case of a gentleman, a suit and tie, do a bit of a test run beforehand. You shouldn't go in there looking like the guilty defendant, if you know what I mean. You should go in there looking like somebody who's confident in the clothes you're wearing.
In my experience, Liam, the guilty defendant rarely wore a suit. It was to convince a judge that he's not guilty, that he did, or she did.
Okay, so...
But I'm not suggesting you're wrong.
There's a few double negatives there.
Indeed.
Through a little bit later.
Yes, you can.
But I take your experience in the matter. But, you know, don't feel like it's ill-fitting or that it's awkward for you. You should be very confident in the day. Really, on the day of an interview, you should walk in there looking like the winner. You should feel confident without being arrogant. You should look, you know, like you're to the manor born to a certain extent. And because people make up their minds about you based on an awful lot more than just what you say or what you've written in your application. They get a feeling about you as well.
So, and on that point, Liam, I mean, the reality is that many people simply don't wear suits because their station in life doesn't require it. Then suddenly they find they have to put on a suit. And I know from experience that people, whether men or women, who are unaccustomed to wearing a suit suddenly find themselves in a suit, particularly men. The shirt is ill-fitting, the tie is ill-fitting, the suit is ill-fitting. I've seen in situations where the label, which is very often on the left-hand sleeve of the suit, is still there. So, you know, these are pretty important things that can tell a lot about a person, you know?
They can, of course, you know, and if you have a suit you haven't worn for a while, you want to be checking it out a few days beforehand to make sure that you haven't grown into the collar of the shirt a bit too much or anything like that. And people, you know, we've all been that soldier reaching the dress suit and said, oh, God, the dress suit doesn't fit anymore. Or the one you've hired out doesn't fit because you didn't bother getting measured. You rang the dress suit company and said, the same as last time, please. But for an interview, little things like that do say a lot. But also they will have a negative impact on your own sort of confidence going in there if you feel that you're not just fully right, you know what I mean, that something isn't fully in place.
So, any other hints, Liam, perhaps away from the obvious?
No scram. On the day, don't be carrying bag loads of stuff and that kind of thing. Travel light. Walk in the door with whatever you need to have easily tucked under your arm, if it's a portfolio or a copy of your CV. Travel light. Don't be coming, and this is probably directed primarily at females who tend to carry a larger bag than men who have got into man bags in recent years. Don't be bringing the kitchen sink at all to the interview. Travel light. Certainly leave it in the car if you want, but from the car going to the interview room itself, travel light.
Liam, a very interesting text has just come in apropos of what you've been saying. Wouldn't have thought about it myself, I have to say, but in the course of the interview, am I entitled to refer to a matter on my iPhone or iPad?
I would have thought it'd be bad karma.
Yeah, me too.
It's you know, if you're doing a presentation, you can refer to your iPad perhaps if that's part of it.
Yeah.
They would expect you to know the subject, i.e. what the job you're going for, well enough that you wouldn't have to wouldn't have recourse to that.
I'd love if that listener came back to us and just gave us the context, because it would certainly not have occurred to me, and my own view of the matter would be that it would not get, well, it wouldn't get nul points, but it wouldn't get too many points either.
Yeah, I think it would disrupt the flow of the interview
sure.
as well too.
Now let's move on to Dior. I'm just out of college. I want to know how I can use LinkedIn more effectively to enhance my career. I'm told it's very important, but I don't really know what to do. Any tips? Now, you dealt with this several months ago, Liam, and I have to say I didn't know much about LinkedIn, but I've learned a lot since then, listening carefully to what you had to say. It's a huge advantage.
Yeah, LinkedIn is very important. And what Dior says there is not uncommon. Lots of people don't know how to use it very well. It's not the most user-friendly platform you will be on. The tips I would say for DR, first of all, is flesh out your profile. Every day I check out profiles of people on LinkedIn and they're badly filled out. There's missing, the last 4 years are not explained, or their current job is not the headline, or their hobby is a bigger headline than their job. Take time with your profile so when somebody looks in there, they see the person that you want them to see. This is one of the difficulties of LinkedIn. You can't have multiple faces on there. You've got to have only one face. So you know you've got to make sure when the recruiter looks in, and the recruiter will look in, there's no doubt about that, that they see the fully fleshed out profile of the person. I would say have a photograph, a proper headline linking to your job, join some groups relative to your job, write a blog. There's a thing called LinkedIn long form posting, which is very powerful. We would use it in our business a lot, and it gets quite a high number of views. So if you want to write some topics about your sector, say in this case DR is in renewable energy, for example, he or she should be writing posts on LinkedIn about the renewable sector. And it needn't be mold-breaking research, but just when the recruiter or the employer looks in, they need to see somebody who's in this sector, not just sort of half in this sector, that overall their whole professional interest is in that area. And the other one then that people do but kind of do it in a token way, is connect properly with people. Don't just send out the standard LinkedIn invitation to connect. Personalize it in some way by saying, you know, haven't seen you in a while, hope all is well, glad to see you're doing well in that job. It's very easy to rack up connections in most social media platforms, but it's more important to rack up connections in a kind of a professional stroke personal way that people say, well, you know, they took time there to actually connect with me, not just going through the motions. And the final point on LinkedIn, I would say, and it's one I would use quite a lot and I find it very effective, if somebody links up with me on LinkedIn, I try to send them a quick note back saying, good to hear from you, hope all is well, and check out their profile and see where they're at. So LinkedIn, it's about bringing a bit of personality and a bit of humanity, or a bit of ordinariness to your LinkedIn engagements, not to think that, you know, that LinkedIn in some way is different to your day-to-day interactions with people, is to mirror that as best you can. So if you saw somebody you know walking down the street, you'd say, hello, how are you, how are things? Why not when they say hello to you on LinkedIn as well? So I think that enhances the quality of your connections on LinkedIn. And the whole LinkedIn thing is built on the degrees of separation. You do need good quality contacts. You do need people who will speak for you when the time comes. So there are some tips I would give on LinkedIn.
And good manners will never go amiss.
No, exactly. You know, I'm always struck by the amount of people who don't even say thanks in an email.
Indeed.
You know, when they should really, you know, if you've done something for them, you know. So no harm. And it's probably been overlooked a bit on the... in the whole social media revolution, and I think if you bring good manners to bear, people will notice it.
Now, there's another text in. It's too late in the afternoon, and indeed in the programme, to deal with it today, but you might reflect on it for next week's programme. And it's an interesting question, and it's specifically for you, Liam. At a time when employment is rising, are companies, and particularly interview boards, becoming less demanding in terms of what they want from a candidate?
Okay, I can...
You might just consider that for next week's programme, along with whatever other problems we get in between now and then.
Okay, no problem.
Liam Horan, Managing Director of Slieve Nua Careers, as always, thank you very much indeed for that.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
And a very good evening to you.